from local high school sports.
It's good to be joined by our Student Athlete of the Week. Anthony, how's it feel to be a Student Athlete of the Week?
Feels good, man.
To your Fresno State Bulldogs.
Pleasure to always have Coach Entz in the building here. And Coach, how are you doing on this Tuesday night?
Doing good. Doing really good.
When the athletic director of Fresno State drops in here at ESPN Fresno. Garrett, it's good to have you in.
You know, we're just grinding every day trying to get better. But, man, beautiful weather right now.
And voices from the pros.
On ESPN Fresno with Sean Merriman, Charger linebacker. Great.
Man, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Q Myers joining me now. He's with the Raiders, of course.
Man, I love Fresno. Yeah. I really do, man.
Rick Neuheisel here with us on ESPN Fresno.
It is a treat to be on ESPN Fresno.
This is your home for all things sports. Hosted by Phil Bonatti. Breaking it down, calling it like it is, and taking you behind the game. This is Behind the Bench on ESPN Fresno.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno on this Tuesday afternoon, 3 o'clock on the dot for you here. Good to be here. Good to be alongside you all for what will be a one-hour show as yours truly has to fight the traffic and get south down to the Kingsburg area for our high school baseball game, high school baseball broadcast between Kingsburg and Selma. So looking forward to that. That's coming up 6:15 pregame, 6:30 first pitch from the town of Kingsburg, the home of the Vikings, as they take on the Selma Bears. So excited to bring that to you, and that will be coming your way later tonight. Of course, over on 790, we have the Lakers game one action between the Lakers and the Thunder from Oklahoma City. Pregame starting at 5:15 over there, and a tip-off at 5:30 between the Lakers and the Thunder. So good show today. Just an hour, just straight talk today. No guests today with the one-hour schedule, so we're going to dive right into some sports talk and get you in on your topics here today. Of course, lots of reaction from last night, of course, with the Giants win. We'll talk about that in moments. Of course, also Lakers Thunder, like I said, game one preview. Talk about the NHL lottery. The Sharks have some iterations of possible permutations to get the number one overall pick tonight. And unfortunately, we sign off right when that thing gets going. So we will know officially tomorrow who the Sharks will be positioned to take potentially if they do so get lucky tonight in the NHL draft lottery. Big thanks to Tony D for tossing it to us in the previous hour. Tony D Show, Sportsline Bulldog Hour with Tony D from 2 to 3 p.m. My show, of course, follows from 3 to 6 p.m. normally on the weekdays. And also Palmetto Show, the Central Valley Sports Report, live from 10 a.m. to noon. First String Sports, you can listen to him there. You can listen to myself, and you can listen to Tony, all on the 1430ESPNFresno.com website and on the ESPN Fresno app. Be sure to download that today. We also live stream on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. Looks like we're live there over there on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. If you search ESPN Fresno, you'll be able to find us there on all of those platforms. So if you want to watch the video portion, that's what we got for you over there. Of course, it's good. We got the Lee's Air Hotline, which you can reach us at 559-320-1430. Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. The way to reach our show, Lee's Air Hotline, sponsored by Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Lee's Air also sponsors the weather check today, sitting at 69 degrees, and that's about where we're going to top out today. A little bit partially cloudy, just pleasant weather overall today. No rain in the forecast. Looks like we kind of dodged it a little bit. Maybe had a little bit this morning, and that was about it. 79 tomorrow. We warm up all the way to the high 80s by Thursday, Friday, Saturday, touching the 90s by Sunday, and maybe topping out at about 100 degrees on Tuesday, Monday-ish area. So the heat wave is coming, but don't be afraid, because we may be dropping back down after that. Seeing some long-term forecast, I'm hearing word from the weather people. So they're giving me the good word that just a little bit of a heat up, and then we'll be back to normal, because it's May in Central Valley. It ain't June. It ain't July. It certainly ain't August. We got producing over behind the glass. Jorge is over there. Jorge, you're in for the hour. How are we doing on this Tuesday afternoon?
Oh, we're doing good. We're doing good. Had some good tacos for lunch.
I am stuffed for Cinco de Mayo.
That was good.
Is it because I know this isn't like technically the day, right?
No. The Independence Day, no.
Yeah, but this is where America just kind of grabs on to, and
yeah. So it celebrates the Battle of France and Mexico.
Yeah, screw those French guys.
And the French invasion of Mexico in the 1860s.
Yeah,
Mexico defeated them in the Battle of Puebla, which became Cinco de Mayo.
There you go.
For whatever reason, here in the States, it's celebrated like a real holiday, but in Mexico, it's kind of like a regional holiday.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know.
It's kind of a regional, like there's more there's places in Mexico that celebrates Cinco de Mayo or whatever it is better than others.
Yeah, like Puebla, where that battle actually happened. They have like, you know, celebrations for that.
Sure, of course. It's a big day for them.
Throughout the rest of...
But if you're in like Jalisco or something...
Probably you won't see anything happening.
Yeah, it's just a normal, it's just another Tuesday.
Yeah, I think it's a federal holiday, so people are off and around, but... I mean, some aren't working, but other than that, is you know.
Yeah, we like it. You know, another excuse to do something, right? So I'm sure. I was looking up like who are the best Cincos out there, like the number people who are number five out there. I've seen a couple of nominees. I actually had the list in front of me, and then I let it go away. But off the top of my head, a little Albert Pujols for you.
That's a good one.
Where's number five? Yeah. Yeah. Let me see if I got another good list here for you. Shout out Jason Kidd, wore number five. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're hitting some. So George Brett wore number five. If you're a baseball fan back in that era. Let me see. Do I got any? Usually the top soccer players all wore 10. So five's a different number. Although five has a good, usually the number five has somewhat of a responsibility, right?
Fives are like middles or defenders.
Yeah.
Usually, yeah.
Any number fives you can think of in the soccer world for the folks out there? Donovan McNabb is the top five. Is another one. To think about. I can't think of many other football fives out there.
Yeah, no.
Quarterbacks don't usually wear that number five. Joe Flacco wore number five.
Right.
For the Ravens, he doesn't wear five anymore. How about Matt Holliday wore number five?
Reggie Bush wore number five, right?
Did he? At USC. I don't think he did wear it during his pro days.
Because he couldn't.
They didn't have the rule back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, my computer just froze, so I guess I'm out of people to talk about.
Kyle Larson. From NASCAR.
Number five? Car?
Number five, yeah.
Yeah, we like that. Yep, my computer is totally locked up and crashed, so this bit is over. All right, sounds good. So, yeah, happy Cinco de Mayo or whoever celebrates today. Yes, we had tacos on tacos on tacos. You know, speaking of five, that was the number of runs scored last night in San Francisco. And the Giants end up getting three of those five runs in that, folks, in math, results in a victory. 3-2, Giants win last night, and we talk about the way this Giants season has gone. Yes, a victory is nice. It snaps the longest losing streak of the season for the San Francisco Giants. And it also, last night with Casey Schmitt's homer, snapped the team's six-game home run drought. Yeah, folks, all that road trip in Philly and Tampa, they didn't have a homer. So you saw that drought snapped with him hitting a home run in the first inning. By the way, that was one game shy of tying the longest streak in MLB since the start of last season. So 3-2 last night. I wouldn't say I'm feeling like the Giants solved their problems, but it is nice to get in the win column last night and get out of it because certainly 6-game losing streak into a 7-game losing streak will certainly make people sweat. Trevor McDonald last night, what up? 7 innings, 8 Ks, no walks, 2 hits, 1 earned, and then he gets sent down. Thank you, sir, for your service, right? Or maybe he didn't get sent down. Maybe I read the news wrong. I don't know. I saw something about option, but maybe just for the spot. Anyways, Trevor McDonald, nice start last night. The first Giants pitcher, Jorge, to throw seven innings pitched and have one earned run or fewer in their season debut since 2018, Johnny Cueto. Yeah, Johnny Cueto.
Okay.
Yeah, Johnny Cueto, last pitcher to do that with seven innings, one run or fewer earned in their season debut. Johnny Cueto was a decent Giant. Not a great Giant, but a decent Giant.
He had his moments.
Yeah, he had his moments. Rafi Devers drove in a couple runs last night.
He's getting in there. He's coming back up.
Certainly not anywhere near his caliber, but hey, you'll take it, right? And 3-2 victory last night for the Giants to beat the Pods. You got to feel good. You get the close or the save last night from the young stud pitcher last night as well. But it's going to be interesting to see what this series will turn into. But the Giants' offense is still a futile offense, even things considered last night. So it's not like my opinion changed last night. It's just in the circumstance, it is good to see them find a way and scrap into a victory. Caleb Killian, by the way, is the man who got the save last night for the Giants, his first career save. So Trevor McDonald to Keaton Wynn to Caleb Killian. This is the frustrating part about this Giants team right now is that the roles aren't defined in a lot of different aspects. So last night, maybe you're finding that role. I'm tired of kind of the audition for who's going to be pitching and what's going to be really situated between all this. But I am looking forward to finally maybe seeing some defined stuff from Tony Vitello and the staff. Can we finally see it after last night's game? I don't know. But I think that's the next step here for this Giants team. And despite a 3-2 win, that's last night, it's evident that things need to move in a direction that has to define the roles for those guys. So I'm curious to see what moves forward with this Giants team. But the offense, I don't think it completely solved itself. Six hits last night, nothing to write home about. So I don't know. 3-2, it's nice. You beat the first-place Padres. Congratulations, but I'm not sold on anything.
No, it does feel like they're doing something better. I want to see it again today, but that would give me more confidence just because it just feels like they're just – they play well, and then all of a sudden they lose six. So hopefully if they play well tonight and, get the win, I feel more confident about this team. But right now, not so much.
Yeah, so Giants, of course, play tonight. Unfortunately, we don't have the game because we're doing high school baseball. You want to listen to high school baseball tonight. It's going to be a good one. We have a major league caliber pitcher tonight on the mound between Kingsburg and Selma. So it's not like you're missing out on any good baseball action. So I'm looking forward to that, of course, and we'll see where this series turns for the San Francisco Giants. Next time we will be on air will be after the next two games of this series. Logan Webb goes tonight. Anytime I feel like Logan Webb's going, I suddenly am like, all right, I'm convinced the Giants can at least find a way to flip the series. And then, he's been having some tough luck. He had a really great start against Philly in his last start, right? In that just despicable extra inning loss, Jorge, remember, on that Thursday morning. So Giants are a little scarred from that action, but it's going to be fascinating to see Logan Webb go against his old rival, Walker Buehler. Giants, I don't remember Walker Buehler's statistics against San Francisco, but he has certainly been one to agitate the Giants from time to time from his Dodger days. So it's good to see a little more rivalry between him and Walker Buehler. And then, of course, tomorrow we will see Adrian Hauser against Matt Waldron. And Hauser had a little bit of a rough start last time against Tampa. So, all right, Giants baseball, that's a little recap of that. Of course, what we got coming up in this hour, talked about the Giants. We're going to talk about Lakers here. Once again, what are we expecting tonight? Who needs to step up? We're going to probably rank the most important players in this game tonight. And who could potentially get the Lakers into the win column in game one? Who has the most on the line for this game one tonight in OKC? Can the Lakers shock the world? They're plus 900 underdogs. Let's talk about it next on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. We are hours away from the Lakers and Thunder tip-off. And so let's preview that for you as we get closer to that basketball game, of course, which you can listen to on 790. There is a lot of ways you could think about this series in the not in the favor of the Lakers, right? And the way they are developed and the way they are structured into this playoff series. Tonight, the Lakers are plus 900 to win the series. You would have to, if you bet a dollar, you would get $9 back in return if you bet the Lakers in this series, according to the DraftKings Sportsbook. ESPN Analytics gives the Thunder a 91% chance of winning the series. The odds tonight for Game 1, Thunder are a minus 15.5 on the spread. The Lakers plus 15.5. This is, if you look at LeBron James as a 15.5 point underdog, this would be the longest odds of any game of LeBron's career ever. And the current high in any game he's played in. Game one of the 18 finals against the Warriors, LeBron closed in at a 13-point underdog and lost by 10 in overtime. So he did cover the spread in that one. Jorge, this feels massively disrespectful to LeBron James's power and what he can provide in this series. And yet, if you look at what has happened in the last four games against the Lakers and the Thunder in this season, you could argue that this is the right line. But I think there has to be a closer look at what's going on between these two teams. But Jorge, do you think 15.5 fair or unfair to Los Angeles tonight being a 15.5 point underdog on the road?
I mean, if we go in with what they've been doing in the past, I feel that's very fair. However, it might, you know, it does feel a little bit out of proportion, but at the same time, you know.
Right.
I mean, what are we saying? Are we saying that because it's LeBron James?
Because it's LeBron James, and he's never faced a team being a 15.5 point underdog. He was a 13-point underdog against the Warriors in game one of that 18 series, and they ended up losing by 10 in overtime. And even then, J.R. Smith had the chance to win that game with a shot at the end, and instead he just rebounded the basketball and ran away from half court. And LeBron James said, "What the hell are you doing?"
We're talking about 8 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not the same.
LeBron but this James. Is the Warriors, who was the greatest team of all time situation with Clay and Dre and KD and Steph.
And the Cavs team was no...
The Thunder are not that team, right?
I mean, are we comparing them to...
I'm not comparing them anywhere near that 71-win team for the Warriors. We're not doing that at all. No. Hell no. Hell no.
So you're saying that that Cavs team is comparable to this Lakers team?
Potentially. Are we doing that? Because we can do that.
I don't think so.
You think that Cavaliers team is better than this
Lakers team right now? That's going to play today.
I think this Lakers team is better than that Cavs team. Because if you put this LeBron, that 18 LeBron on this Lakers team, we'd be talking about a 68-win team or something like that, and this Cavs team was poaching the East of like with nobodies who were.
But they don't have that 18 LeBron. They have LeBron 2026 LeBron.
Exactly.
So it's not comparable.
But they have Austin Reeves and they do have Luka Doncic, and I know Luka's not even in the conversation right now.
That's what I'm saying, Luka. The one that's going to play tonight is not compared to the one that
I think. We are closer than we think. Let me present some deeper numbers to you here real quick. Once again, and we discovered this yesterday because I was testing the theory of let's dig a little deeper in what has happened this season, right? Is it valid? First of all, is it valid for me to look at the four games we've seen the Lakers and Thunder play against each other this year?
Yeah.
Is it valid to look at that? All
right. Yeah, it's valid.
Let's look at it deeper, right? Game one against the Thunder. They lost by 39. And this is a team that did not have LeBron James playing. It had Austin Reeves and it had Luka Doncic, but this was a LeBron James-less Laker team, lost by 39.
And they lost by 39.
Okay. Note that. Game two, they lost by 9. By the way, that the 39-point loss was in OKC. This one was in LA. This one was in February. And this is a roster that had, for the Lakers, LeBron James and Austin Reeves, no Luka. And they lost by 9 to the OKC Thunder. Who were the Thunder?
In LA.
In LA. Now, to be fair, in that LA game, no Shea. They had everybody else. They had Chet. They had Hartenstein. They had Lou Dort. They had Cason Wallace. They had Jalen Williams. No Shea, though. So,
okay.
Can't really compare that, right? Let's dive into the 43-point loss that the Lakers suffered in April against the Thunder, which was the game that the Laker fans will sit there and say, that's the game where the whole season went to hell. Because that's where Luka lost his ability to stay healthy. He got hurt. You had Austin Reeves somewhat get hurt. And it was LeBron James fighting for his life later in that basketball game. For the most part, they had the big three going. But after a while, Luka and Austin go down with injuries. LeBron's by himself. And it's a cataclysm of errors for that Laker team. 43-point loss. Yikes. Right?
Right, right.
Shea was playing in that game, by the way. So Isaiah Joe had 20 off the bench. I don't think Lakers are looking for that. Lakers lose by 36 at home. But this is a team that did not play LeBron, did not play Austin Reeves, and did not play Luka Doncic. And they lost by 36 in L.A. Against a Shea team that Shea did play in that game, by the way. And Chet. And Hartenstein. And Dort. So, is there any game I can kind of compare to? Is there any... Like I said, we asked the question at the beginning, is it fair to compare the games we've seen already this year and assess it to this series and say, are we going to get a reflection of what it's going to look like in this series? I'd argue we don't have any idea what this series is going to look like yet. Right? Because the four results I've talked about and the four results I've compared about, the only one that I think can be remotely close to what we're going to see in this series, potentially, if you want to really argue, if you really want to say, yeah, actually, this is what the series is going to look like, maybe that 43-point loss in OKC when Luka went down, because Luka did end up playing 25 minutes in that game. It's not like Luka just went out in the first quarter and said, see you later, right? Luka paid 25, LeBron played 25, Austin played 26 minutes, Laravia played, they're starting Jake Laravia, by the way, which is just not what they're going to be doing now. Luke Kennard was barely into that rotation. I'd like to believe they know a little bit better what's going on with Luke Kennard. Here's the problem, though. I don't know if you can absolutely put Luke Kennard on the... like, I'm looking at some plus-minus numbers here, Jorge, that are just awful. Luke Kennard in that game, 28... minus 28 when he was on the floor. Rui Hachimura was a minus 39 in that game. The bench absolutely tilts the court against the Lakers when it comes to this Thunder team. If you're going to look at what is going to be successful or not successful in any realm of the possibility. The last game of the year when nobody played, Kobe Berfkin was the only one that did not have a plus-minus that finished in the minus side of things. I'm looking at any plus-minus. Is there any player on the Lakers who finished in a plus-plus-minus at all when he played the Thunder this year? Bronny James in the first game of the year had a plus-6.
Maybe if Bronny's playing, maybe they'll get...
Is Bronny the key, huh? Or... Is Bronny the key? Rui had a +4 in that 9-point loss back in February. Vanderbilt had a +9.
Who did they beat by two recently?
Who?
The Lakers?
The Rockets.
Right. It was the Rockets. So, Bronny scored 2 points in that game, and they won by two.
He scored. So, you're talking about that one game that went overtime? He scored 5 points.
Oh, 5 points.
Yeah, he scored 5 points.
So, if he wouldn't have scored those 5 points, they wouldn't have won.
Yes, because the Rocket bench scored four, and they won by one.
Right.
Yeah. Relitigating that a little bit.
So maybe he plays tonight. They'll win.
Okay. We'll live in that pie in the sky. What's the content? Like, outside of an injury to OKC, is like, are Laker fans sitting here like thinking there's any chance? Like, I want to know. Are they I'm not saying you're delusional. I'm saying give me a roadmap here.
There's a small chance.
There's always
a chance because it's basketball, right?
Okay.
But in reality, nothing logistically says that they're going to win it, logically.
Right.
Right? It's not – yeah. 14 points probably. I could see that.
I'm looking at the Thunder schedule, and have they lost four in their last seven at any point this year? Just scrolling through. They did have a stretch where they lost 4 of 6 at one point. So it is.
Who was it to?
They had a stretch where they lost to the Spurs, then beat the Clippers, then they lost to the T-Wolves, they beat the Grizzlies, and then they lost to the Spurs and lost to the Spurs. So, but yeah, that's one stretch.
The Spurs is their torn on the heel.
Yeah, the Spurs are pretty rough. They had another stretch where they lost 3 out of their 7. Or excuse me, 4 out of 7.
I would say that's somewhat of a rivalry, right? The Texas versus Oklahoma people.
I mean, I think the NBA is just licking their chops to see Thunder Spurs in that next series, right?
Yeah. I would say so for sure.
But on the flip side, I think the NBA also is licking their chops at the other possibility of let's see LeBron go at it one more time. Try to get that one last ride title. Get that Brady Bucks title in 2020, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what this run feels like. For me, like, while this Laker team isn't impressively talented, I do like the idea that Austin Reeves has had a couple games to just sort of ramp up into, right? I think that is a somewhat of a benefit. And are you, if you're going to, like, grab onto one other thing of this series, at least this game, the Thunder have not played a game in 8 days, Jorge. They have not played a game since last Monday against the Phoenix Suns.
Okay. Now that's different.
There's some metrics there, right?
Yeah.
There's definitely some metrics there. There's a little, and the Lakers they're in that sweet spot for me of they won on Friday and they have had the little bit of rest to get to Tuesday here and really just reset and not feel like they've had to really battle to get to where they are. Like, the Rocket series was tough, but it wasn't taxing. Like, it didn't look taxing to me.
Yeah.
For the Lakers.
Yeah. They kind of like let it go for two games. And then they were like, all right, that's it.
So what is it going to be? What is it? It's certainly going to be taxing in this series with the Thunder, right? It's certainly going to be a taxing series for this team. They are going to have to be on their unbelievable level of play we haven't seen, like, since they won like 22 of their last 24 or something like that. I remember that stretch.
If they want to win tonight, yeah, it's got to be taxing because you got to give it all out. Especially with a team against a team that hasn't played in 8 days.
To me,
that's some rust right there.
If they don't win tonight, to me, if the Lakers don't win tonight, then you're asking them to win 4 of their next 6 against the Thunder. You win tonight, you can kind of dictate everything. I will say the chances tonight of winning this game and what your series will look like, I will drastically improve the odds of the Lakers winning this series if they win tonight. Like, I don't think I could put any more weight on what tonight will mean for the Lakers and what it'll mean for this series moving forward if they can find a way to steal it. And we saw you can be an undermanned team and win a game in this playoff series. Go look at what happened last night with Minnesota. And I know Anthony Edwards somewhat was back, but the dude hyperextended his knee like a week ago, right? And he's out there, you know, with his teammates finding a way to beat San Antonio last night when San Antonio felt like they could find any basket they wanted to with Victor Wembanyama, and they just did not go into that situation. I'm looking at last night's Minnesota game. I'm looking at what Minnesota just did to Denver in their last two games of that series too. And I'm saying they are as undermanned as anybody in this playoffs. Why can't the Lakers replicate that in some form or fashion in this series? I don't really quite think talent is like 98% what's going to determine the series, but there are some other situations. There's the Minnesota Timberwolves that are kind of an example of that, and maybe we do see this Laker team scratch and claw their way to a win. If anybody can do it in a one-man show, it is LeBron James and what he is capable of. We have seen it many times in this career, and I'll say it right now, he has been the top performer for me in the NBA playoffs this postseason. The Lakers have a lot that need to go right tonight. A lot that need to go right tonight for them to find a win. This is the first playoff series versus the number one seed for the Lakers since the 23 conference finals, which they were swept by the Denver Nuggets. The last time the Lakers beat a number one seed in the NBA playoffs, what happened? 04, when they beat the Timberwolves in the NBA conference finals in six games. The Lakers, remember, did not end up winning that title this year or that year because Detroit, what up? The Pistons ended up beating them in that playoff series. This is LeBron James' second career playoff series against the Thunder. Can you name the other one? I know you know the other one.
Against the Thunder?
It was the last time he faced the Thunder in
Miami,
the playoffs.
Miami, right?
Yeah, when he did 2012. His first ever NBA championship. That's LeBron right. James won in
he
five.
He beat Westbrook,
Durant, Harden.
Harden.
And Serge Ibaka.
Oh, that's right.
Kendrick Ibaka Perkins.
That was a really good team.
Oh, yeah. But LeBron James was unbelievable in 2012. Can we get a little 2012 for LeBron James in us tonight?
If he's
2012 LeBron James, forget it.
Yeah, but...
forget it.
We're asking too much.
This is LeBron James' 14th playoff series against the number one seed. That ties him with Robert Horry for most by any player since seeding began in 1984. He has seven wins versus number one seed, which is tied for second most in that span behind Robert Horry. He's won eight series. Shaq and Derek Fisher also have won seven series against one seeds. So we'll see how that kind of goes. 15.5-point underdog, man. That spread is ridiculous. Almost disrespectful. I think LeBron will take it that way. And when LeBron is disrespected, man, when he's counted out, man, we're going to get a game tonight. We're absolutely getting a game tonight. I think the Lakers really legitimately have a chance tonight. I would hammer that spread in the Lakers' favor. Do they win the series? I'm not declaring that at all. But tonight is a start if you find a way to win. That's where it all starts. So we'll see how it all plays out. All right, Jorge, let's take a break. When we come back, I'll give out the schedule. We'll preview tonight's action. NHL lottery is coming up tonight as well in a matter of minutes. So stay with us. Behind the Bench rolls along on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Jorge, I have some breaking news. I have some kind of breaking news. It's not like crazy breaking news, but I do have some breaking news.
Breaking news.
The NFL Referees Association schedules a vote to ratify the new CBA with the National Football League. Which means negotiations, apparently, according to ESPN and Kevin Seifert and Kalen Kaler, says the new collective bargaining agreement has progressed far enough that the union has scheduled a ratification vote Thursday night. Sources tell ESPN on Tuesday. When formally approved by both sides, the agreement would avoid the necessity for using replacement officials this season. The existing CBA is set to expire May 31st.
So it looks good. I guess they came up to some sort of...
I was going
to
lose my mind if we had replacement officials in 2026. We knew what went down with that situation.
We've seen it happen before.
Yes. And
it wasn't good.
It was horrendous, actually. It was one of the worst. My team severely got, punished for that.
Affected.
Severely affected because of the nature of Justin Tucker missing a field goal and somehow the ball went over the uprights. I'm not quite sure exactly what angle they were seeing.
Hey, you weren't there. You didn't see what they saw.
The ref saw what they saw. And Bill Belichick at one point took the necessary steps to run at that ref and just grab his arm and say, hey, what the hell, man? So
I thought he was going to punch him at first.
You remember that situation. Other news, NHL draft lottery tonight. Teams can move up a maximum of 10 spots if they win the draft lottery. The Sharks, who sit 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They are ninth in the lottery odds to get to the top pick. So the Sharks have a 5% chance to win the draft lottery. So I'm saying there's a chance, Jorge. I'm saying there's a chance, and it would be a very fascinating one if the Sharks could find their way to leap up to the top three. So the Sharks have a chance to get the top three spot, either 1, 2, or 3, or they will finish with the 9th, 10th, or 11th pick tonight. It'll be those six spots and nothing else.
So I mean, hockey's not a big deal. It's not a big deal that you already have a number one pick, but
it is. No, they haven't had a number one pick since Macklin Celebrini. So, okay. Will Smith was second overall. They had a second overall with Michael Mesa last year, and so
Celebrini
this year
was what, 2 years ago?
Celebrini was 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And the year before that was Will Smith, who was number two for the Sharks. So we are now, Sharks have had the second, the first, and then the second overall. In three straight drafts. So we will see if they can.
They're also a lot better. Does that count?
Oh, my gosh. If they get the number one pick, Jorge, woo boy. Woo boy. We're cooking with grease, man. The future is teal and the future is bright, man. If
cooking
that
with lard.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see how the draft draws out. I'll have some reaction tomorrow when we get to that opportunity. It'll be kind of old news by then, but come on. If the Sharks get the number one overall pick, man, we're here for it. We're here for it. Let's give you an update on what the schedule is going on this week. We got a new fresh schedule, Jorge. Got it all ready and go, ready to go here. Tonight we have high school baseball, Kingsburg Selma. I'm going to head out of here in the next 15 minutes and on south to Kingsburg. First pitch, 6:30. Pregame starting at 6:15. Over on 790, 5:15 pregame with a 5:30 tip-off, Lakers and Thunder. Tomorrow, we will have Giants and Padres starting at 12:15 pregame with a 12:45 first pitch. So, no Tony D tomorrow because the Giants and Padres will be in action. My show will start as soon as the Giants and Padres conclude, which is around 4 p.m. We'll see that. And I will end my show at a little after 5:40, because at 5:45 we have Grizzlies and Giants. That's right, Grizzlies baseball on the road again. They're back. Tim Slack on the call. Wednesday night baseball on 14:30. Grizzlies live from San Jose. Big series, by the way. San Jose, two games up right now in the early look goings right now. So Grizzlies get a win tonight and tomorrow, and we're in some business here talking about the standings. A's and Phillies tomorrow from Philadelphia, 3 p.m. pregame, 3:40 first pitch from Philadelphia. Thursday, we'll have Sportsline Bulldog with Tony D from 2 to 3. We'll have my show from 3 to about 5:45, and where we will toss it to Grizzlies baseball again from San Jose on 14:30. So the Grizzlies back on the radio on Thursday as well. Lakers and Thunder on 790. That's at 6:15 pregame with a 6:30 tip-off from OKC game 2. A's and Phillies before that at 3 o'clock. Friday, we'll have Sports on Bulldog with Tony D for 2 to 3. We'll have my show from 3 to 6. 6:45, Giants and Pirates pregame with a 7:15 first pitch from San Francisco between the Giants and the Pirates. A's and Orioles over at 790 all weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We will also have Palmetto Show, Central Valley Sports Report from 10 a.m. to noon on 1430. Lakers Thunder later that evening on Saturday, Game 3 from Los Angeles, 5:15 pre with a 5:30 tip-off from L.A. Grizzlies in San Jose on 790 on Saturday, 4:45 pregame, 5 p.m. first pitch. And we'll be back Monday after that. So that's full gamut of the schedule as we have my show 3 hours before Giants-Dodgers. Yes, Giants-Dodgers from L.A. 4-game set. Ready for Giants-Dodgers next week? One step at a time, Jorge. We can't be thinking about Giants-Dodgers.
Yeah, we got to take care of the Padres, and then we'll see about that.
Giants got to have the Padres number this year, right? A little 3-1?
So far.
Record? A little flip of the script. We like it.
It looks good, but I still, you know, like I said, I need to have more confidence in them.
It amazes me that Fernando Tatis Jr. does not have a home run this year. Do you know that?
Yeah, and I was thinking, like, when was the last time he probably didn't have probably his rookie year, maybe?
I don't even know. No, this is, like, illogical, because the dude's supposed to be packed with power.
Yeah.
But if he can't hit a homer, like...
I mean, this is the first year he hasn't hit a homer yet, so...
Cool, like, he's fast, and he can defend well a little bit, but, my goodness. I don't know. Tatis is producing in other ways, but it's like, who's having a worse start to their year right now? Like, off the start, is the homer thing a little overblown? But I'd be like, him and Devers are just, like, sitting there, like, peas in a pod right now, being like, the hell's going on?
Like, your offense is the best thing you bring into the team, but
yeah,
it's not there yet.
Well, I legit don't know why. I think it's funny that I have the legit question of who's going to have more homers at the end of the year, Fernando Tatis Jr., or Luis Arraez, right? I'd be sitting there thinking Luis Arraez might be a better fit for that, huh? Crazy stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy stuff. Anyways, we got our game tonight. By the way, you want to make sure you log into that one on our website. Jensen Hirschhorn going to be going tonight for Kingsburg. The dude's only been a missing bats the whole day, the whole season, you know. No hitter 2 weeks ago. Had a one hitter last week.
Where's he committed to?
LSU.
LSU, right? Okay.
Not a guarantee he's going to LSU though. MLB, if MLB's coming to talk to you, you know.
right.
We'll see where it all goes from there. Dude's got some decisions to make, but that's the lovely nature of what his situation is he's got a lot. Lot to be excited about. But you know who's also got a lot to be excited about? Selma. Because Selma's sitting at 21-5-1, and they're sitting in that Tri-County Sequoia League, and they're running away with it at 11-1 right now. Formidable team, man. Selma right now. They've won an ungodly amount of games in a row. I'm looking at it.
They have a pretty decent team, and I think it shows how much they have their teams one, prepared, you know?
I'm counting out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. They won 18 of their last 20 games. Jorge.
Who's coaching them?
Who's coaching them? That's a good question.
It's Garza?
It's John Hollett.
Okay.
Yeah, Coach Hollett Jr. So, I'm excited to see what this Selma team looks like. All I've seen is just wins. So, this will be a really good matchup in the sense of kind of gauging what the playoffs will look like between these two teams. We saw Selma last year in the playoffs take on Hoover. We were there out in Selma. I remember Mike Brink and I sitting in the bleachers. They got us a shade. They got us an easy up, Jorge, for us. It was pretty warm out there in Selma in the late part of May.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
But
it's always kind of hot out there, especially that time.
I know. Well, that time is literally next week, by the way. The time is literally next week. I think we've gotten away with murder a little bit with the weather here.
That's not that bad.
I think we're due for that heat up. All my friends are, you know.
Well, it's May. It happens. So it always happens in May.
All my friends are complaining. I wanted to say the other word. you know, complaining.
Isn't that cool enough?
All my friends are complaining and moaning about this 100-degree temperature. I'm like, bring it on. Bring it on. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid at all. All right. Big game tonight. Kingsburg, Selma, myself, Paul Metters on the call. You want to tune in for that? Maybe a surprise guest or two. Who knows? We're always hanging out up there. And if you're at that game, be sure to tune on in. It's going to be a lot of fun. And if you're out there somewhere else listening, watch last week of regular season before we hit the playoffs, going to be crazy, huh? Crazy. Like I said, no Giants baseball tonight because of the high school baseball. We got Lakers on the other side on 790. What do you got?
I was going to say Paul Meyer is going to be with you, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We already scoped out our dinner spot before the game. So
what is it, the hot dogs?
I'll just say the menu looks really delicious. And I can't wait. And I hope I don't get into a food coma because of it. All right, Jorge, that's enough for our show. We'll see you at 6:15 tonight from Kingsburg. 6:30 first pitch. Lakers basketball starting in about an hour and a half. We'll see you then. Show tomorrow, 3 o'clock.